In a locked room at evening on the first day of the week, the disciples huddled, afraid to go outside, not knowing what awaited them there and not knowing what would become of their lives. Through the locked doors, Jesus, resurrected from the grave, came into the room and breathed peace into them. They rejoiced. Sure they did. We live in a world where we need Jesus to come through millions of locked doors to breathe God's peace. But that night, one of them, only one of them, Thomas, wasn't in the room where it happened. When the trouble started, the others had stayed put, but he went out. Why? When he left the lockdown, was he being faithful or foolish? Was he being courageous or just impatient? Was he getting groceries or taking a walk, clearing his head, sorting out the mysteries of all that had happened, contemplating what his life had become since he started following Jesus? When Thomas returned to the other disciples in the locked room after doing whatever he was doing, they told him all about how Jesus had appeared to them in this locked room, a feat until then unknown among living or resurrected beings. The news was incredible, but Thomas was incredulous. And Thomas said, "This is all very exciting, this virtual faith you're offering to me, but I can't stake my life on a virtual Jesus. The way of Jesus is too important to be Gnostic. Unless I see the marks of the nails in his hands, I will not believe." They were silent. He was right, of course. They believed in the incarnation. They believed in the Word made flesh. The resurrected Jesus had appeared to them. But still, what now? There was no guarantee Jesus would come back again to them. So if this is all there is, maybe we should make the best of it, some wondered. We can make a virtual church on the idea of the incarnation. Thomas jumped in again. He asked, "Can our faith be a virtual faith, or just spiritual, or just based on a remembrance of what happened in Jesus? Is it just about our feelings or our ideas?" "No. Hear me out, brothers. Faith in Jesus is in Jesus who was crucified on the cross. His death was real and terrible. I've been thinking about this since we've been locked down. We should not go to the world proclaiming the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom, but should know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. We will go in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and our speech and message will not be in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that the faith of all those people everywhere might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. So if faith and the life of faith is going to be anything at all, it must be incarnate too. If we're going to be apostles, the resurrection for us disciples must be about the body of Christ, the wounds in His hand and His side. Because for all of those in the years to come, those pastors, those mommies and daddies and children and widows and the poor and the hungry and the imprisoned and the sick and the troubled and the quarantined, they must know that the life of the church is tangible, physical, embodied, and they cannot be satisfied with anything less. Even in this locked room, with everything to fear out there, even here, our faith can't just be virtual." Just then, Peter, nodding, eagerly jumped in, as Peter often did. "You're right," Peter said. We have a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead and into an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading. In this you rejoice, even if for a little while you have to suffer various trials. The genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold, tested by fire, results in praise and glory and honor when Jesus is revealed. Someone said quietly, he ought to write that down. All the disciples together rose to their feet. Thomas wasn't finished. He resumed speaking. He said, the life of faith in Jesus for all those generations to come cannot just be in their individual feelings or their ideas, though feelings can be wonderful and ideas are very important, but it must be sacramental. It must be embodied. People need taste and touch and sight and sound. God made us as bodies. Christ came as a body, and he rose as a body. Those people out there won't have the physical body of Jesus like you did when he appeared to you, and as I hope he appears also to me, but the Christian faith we share from this locked room into all the world will be, must be, tangible, incarnate, embodied in human sacrificial love and in sacrament, in bread and wine and water. We must show them, teach them, that this is the meaning of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. And because it is the life of the church Jesus calls into being and promises to always be with. God did not create individual humans to act out their lives on a green screen staged backdrop of something that looks like a real world. God didn't code a matrix of simulation for individual humans to come to Jesus and then fly away. God created an actual world that he said is very good, a world with mommies and daddies and children and neighbors and grain to make bread and grapes to make wine and water to wash clean. And he said these are very good. And God made dogs to hug when we're sad, and fish and birds to delight, and dinosaurs and dandelions. And God created a world with seasons, and some of them are hard. A world with days, and some of them are long. A world with nights, and some of them are lonely. God created a world of life and of death. And Thomas paused. They knew all about death. And in the pause, they remembered Jesus and the last meal they shared with him and the cross. And they remembered Judas and the dark cloud that always seemed to hover over him even until the end. Some deaths, Thomas said softly, are so very hard to understand. And they wondered about what might await each of them on the other side of those locked doors. We may not leave this lockdown for a while, Thomas said to the other disciples, but we will. And when we do, we will teach the whole world everything Jesus taught us. We will make other disciples who will join us. They will. Some of us will write letters. John, you and Peter, sharpen your pencils. You're going to be busy. Some of our enemies will join us too. God will soften their hearts. We'll send letters all over the world. I don't think I'll write one, but someone may write one using my name, and that's okay, I guess, but you'll know the difference. But our letters won't be all that we'll do. Letters on a scroll or a screen will be good, but never fully be enough to replace the Word. And so we will go to them too. From the east to the west, we will go, because that's what God's love is like. Remember, that's what we learned in Jesus. And we will baptize in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we will break bread and say, this is Christ's body. And we will pour wine and say, this is the new covenant in Christ's blood. And they will do it to others as we do it for them. And on and on and on. Life will not always be easy in the future. When they're in situations when they can't have all these things like communion and baptism and hugs and handshakes, and there will be lots of times through history, they will hunger for them, even as I hunger for Christ now. And maybe they will remember me, not as a doubter, but as one like them, who just will not, cannot make do with anything less than Jesus. And when they hunger for what they have lost, I hope they will remember me and know that that hunger is holy, because they hunger for what is good and true and cannot be replaced by a video screen. What's a video? Someone asked. They'll know someday. And so, said Thomas, my brothers, so full of good news today about marvelous things you have seen, I celebrate with you what you have been given already. But in solidarity with all who in hard times and lockdown places will suffer with patience and with impatience, I will wait. I will wait until I touch his side and hear his voice. I will wait with all who must wait behind whatever locked doors for Jesus, because he will come. I'm telling you, I can feel it. He's coming. And if a stone couldn't hold him in, no locked door can hold him out. He's coming. Look, he is here. Oh, my Lord and my God.